Low Tide, you just heard my 10 best, well, 10 songs I'd play at the end of the night at any wedding, whether it was today or tomorrow or whatever it is. And since you're TSN 1260's songbird, what would you play? What are a couple songs you would play, must have, in your last 45 minutes of a wedding night?
Let's see. Are we slow dancing at that point? I can't remember now.
Well, what I did is I put four fast songs in, slowed it down for three to bring the lovers together again, then crank it out for the last three.
Well, we got to do
off the place.
the bird dance, and then
Okay.
we do the safety dance. Then we do a couple of waltzes and then a schottisse. Then we probably would go to, I don't know, Magic by Olivia Newton-John. Then slow it down, really nicely, like. Something like Lionel Richie, Still. So you can tell me, I haven't done it. I used to do like wedding dances and other dances, and it was about 1981. So all the songs from that era are hitting my brain right now.
Yeah, well, that's what you like. That's what you want. I want to see you and Mrs. Low Tide on the dance floor, spanking the planks and just having a great time out there, man. That's what it's all
Well,
about.
we just played the Clash's "London Calling" all four sides at our wedding, so that was the dance. Jimmy
Who's on
Jazz
repeat?
really came in good, so.
Just had to turn over the 8-track every now and then, just to make sure you got both sides of it.
Click, click.
Now, Low Tide, it's an interesting time. The Oilers had a lot of flexibility this summer. They made their bets. They placed their moves with Nuge and CeCe and Hyman and these type of guys on longer type deals. From what I can see, they have two full seasons before they have any kind of flexibility with some dead money coming off the cap, and then when Duncan Keith's 5.6 comes off the cap. So what do you see as the biggest need for the Oilers for between now and then to continue moving up in the standings and hopefully win a playoff round or two?
What I would like to see or have seen, I think Larson leaving is still, I think Cody Ceci has to be a good NHL defenseman because Pittsburgh liked him. Apparently, he played well in Toronto. I remember him from the Ottawa years, but that's not fair because he was asked to do a lot as a young player. I think losing Larson has an impact, and they may have to go out and get a shutdown type to replace him if things don't work out with their current alignment. The other thing I wonder about, and like. Goaltending is a funny thing. Like, whatever I remember last year at this time, I was saying signing Mike Smith was probably a mistake, and then Mike Smith spent the whole winter making me look like a fool. So I'm not doing that again. But I'm saying that I think that they could be vulnerable with their current tandem, and I was a little surprised that they didn't. I understand why, because you want to have that. What little flexibility they have next year. Is contained in the Koskinen contract, and we'll see what they do with that. But a lot of it's going to go to Darnell Nurse's increase in salary. But those are two areas, shutdown defenseman, and I think a long-term goaltending solution are two areas that I think they might want to go looking here in the next 12 months.
Yeah, it makes a ton of sense. And when you look at it, though, you talked about Koskinen's money coming off. It goes right to Nurse. But they're going to have to find somewhere money for old Jesse Puljujärvi. Because I don't think it'd be like, am I talking crazy if to expect Puljujärvi to get 20 goals or more this year?
Yeah, I think that's very fair. I wrote an article on him at The Athletic. I'm sure you've read it. And
I do.
I think it was 20, 24 goals. But I think that's like he is really poised to have a good year, probably going to cost $4 million or something to sign him. And where they get that from is going to be interesting to me because they don't like it's hard to see now because we can't maybe Samarikov steps forward and maybe they find a home for Oscar Klefbom's LTIR money or something that allows them to make a move elsewhere. But right now, I think they're going to be really slim pickings next year at this time, which is one of the reasons why I think they signed Cuckoo to a two-year deal, because that's one more guy they have signed for next year that costs less than $1.1 million.
Yeah, and that's exactly it. Like, so, next year you can maybe, let's say Rusty is done after next year. Cuckoo, you save maybe 300 grand there, which is, it's not nothing, but, you're not going to get a big player for that. But I'm looking at the young players. I know you and I have talked about it publicly and privately lots about, can we see, what kind of growth can you get from Yamamoto? What can you get from Puljujärvi, McLeod, the D-man Bouchard, you know, all these guys, like they're, I think Ken Holland, when he lays his head on his special pillow every night, he is praying that those guys don't just step up, but they improve in a significant way over the next, you know, 12 to 18 months.
Yeah, it has to happen. Like Bouchard, you know, he has stated it, and it's pretty clear that he thinks Bouchard is going to be a pretty big part of this team. I think that they badly want. I think sometimes fans think that, you know, the organization is down on players. They really want Benson to step in, and they really want McLeod to step in, and Bouchard. And they'd love if, you know, Yamamoto filled the net. Now, he only scored 2 goals in 26 games, so I think his contract is going to be, you know, reflective of where they see him. And because, as you said, they're going to have to pay Puljujärvi next year. So Yamamoto might get a one-year deal as opposed to a two-year deal because of the way he finished last year. But they want those guys to succeed. The best problem to have is that you have to offload a veteran because your young players are pushing them, you know, away and outside the lineup. That would be a great problem to have. You know, their left wing to me is really interesting because they've got Hyman, Nuge, and Fogel, but then they've got guys like Holloway and Benson who are pushing. One of those guys, probably Hyman, I guess, might end up on right wing, and that probably makes Yamamoto a little bit vulnerable. If you look at that roster and you one or two tumblers click, Yamamoto might be on the third line, and if he's not scoring, he's pretty undersized for a checking role, and he's a guy I think is a little bit vulnerable.
The problem is I don't think he's going to make a lot of money. So I think the guy that you hope that Zach Kassian plays really well, so you have the option, right? Because if I think what happens, and your point is well taken, we're joined by TSN 1260 Songbird, Alan Mitchell, the lowdown of Low Tide. You know, let's say Dylan Holloway, next February, Dylan Holloway is now in your top three left wingers, or Benson, somebody, that pushes Hyman to the right side. So now you have Hyman, Puljujärvi, and Kassian, Archibald, and Yamamoto. That's pretty decent. So I think that Hyman kind of plays like Kassian. He's a little bit bigger, right? And he can make those plays. And that money of Kassian, so you hope he's playing well. And maybe you move him, not because you want to move him, but you know that coming down the pipe here is a need for some cash. And you know, like Yamamoto is cheaper than Kassian. And again, I know they're not the same, but the money, you got to get it from somewhere, right? This isn't unlimited cap, unfortunately.
Yeah, next year, like the 1 year that they have to worry about because they're pretty tight to it is next year. They're already at I guess $74 million out of 81, and they've got 16 guys signed for this would be not the coming year, but 2022-23, and they've got the guys they've got coming off the books are, you know, Koskinen, but all of his money will go to pay Darnell Nurse, and then you're dealing with Russell, who's not a lot, Turris and Archibald. So if you could make a move with Kassian, then you probably want to do that. Your other options are Tyson Berry, who doesn't have any movement on his contract, and I doubt very much whether they trade CeCe, and I don't think they'd want to trade Fogel because, you know, Fogel, I've watched him quite a bit, and he's got great utility. He could help them in several different ways.
Yeah, he's what they've needed, right? They need a forecheck, and that's what I see. I think that they've said, we got a forecheck because they just didn't have it, you know, and I wonder, is it enough to offset what could be, you know, maybe some fun times in their own end. Like, you know, I'm not saying it's going to be bad, but we don't know. So what we maybe think might be not this, you know, Larson leaving is an issue. And can you offset it with enough forechecking time to take the pressure off the D and the goalies?
Well, that's it. And like, if the puck's 200 feet from your own net, then the defense is doing great, you know. And the Oilers are, they, when McDavid's on the ice, they're, you know, they're either scoring or the puck is coming out of the zone because his sorties into the offensive zone tend to be quite quick. If he can't corral the puck, it's heading the other way. But there's no such problem on the third and fourth line. It should be very difficult for the opposition to take the puck from their own zone into your zone. And I know he's not wildly popular among Oilers fans, but Benoit Pouliot was really good at that. Now, he took too many penalties, and they ended up buying him out. But I think Fogel is a guy, and Puljujärvi too, to be honest, is a guy who can maybe do that and slow down the pace and disturb and suppress offensive opportunities. And if you do that enough, then all of a sudden you're not defending as much, and the Oilers really need to be not defending as much as they currently are put together. It's not necessarily a bad thing that most of the Oilers now are really good puck passers. That's good. But and you've got shot blockers and Russell and Nurse and all that. That's also good. But you don't have Larson was really good at just making it unattractive to be in high scoring areas and stand there and wait for the puck. He had a way to make you not want to do that. And I don't know that the Oilers have that kind of player now. So they can get away with it, but it would be ideal, as you say, if they're 200 feet from their own net when they're doing it.
Yeah, you know, as you know, some of my best shift as an Oiler was when I would change and I'd stand on the other team's blue line while my team would cycle for a minute, then I'd change again. And I really didn't do anything. And I'd get to the bench and Charlie, how do you say, great shift, Strutty. He'd be like, thank you, chuckles. Thank you very much.
And there's no better feeling.
Yeah. Well, you do.
Because I think that, like, people, the amount of energy, that's why I think Chris Russell is such an amazing player, because he's defending a lot. And I don't mean that in a negative way. If you go look at his shots against and goals against per 60 at 5-on-5, as an Oiler, he's been really good at it. It's just that the puck isn't, you know, his possession numbers are poor because when he gets the puck out, it's just a center and it's coming back. But as a defender, he does a lot of good work. It's just that you don't want to be defending that much.
100%. Low Tide, have a great weekend. I'm going to take a look at the songs you named and see if I can find some eight tracks to get them to listen to them.
Yeah, and there's a few love songs in the country genre that you might if you get a chance on your way home. I know you'll run out of gas, so you'll end up at a gas station somewhere. Look for a cassette or an 8-track of a man named Boxcar Willie. I think he'd have the kind of romantic songs you'd like.
Oh, I do love them. And you know what? I do most of my shopping at the place you get gasoline places, right? Like sunglasses, T-shirts, hair ties, all that stuff. So
sandwiches.
I'll look for that while I'm in there. Oh, sandwiches. Yeah, I get it all. That's where I do my grocery shopping, too. So thanks, buddy. Have a great weekend.
You too, my friend. Good luck to the Giants. I know you'll need it.